from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good.
I'm gonna read it.
Dear Chase, they're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you missed the first hour, you can download that at the Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. 503-864-6326 is the Fan Vancouver Ford text line. Also, we are on YouTube.com/1080am. The Fan, shout out to all of that. We got a basketball game going right now. 103-100 Minnesota Dallas in the waning seconds.
And Luka Doncic hits the three and one.
That's actually a really great Marv Albert impression.
Yes.
I do love Marv Albert.
Give me the bang from Mike Breen.
Bang!
I hope that if NBC does get the NBA, that they get Marv Albert.
Oh, well, I don't think he calls games at all anymore. I think, he's...
Marv Albert doesn't call
the
games?
I haven't heard Marv Albert call a game in a couple years, I feel like. Oh, man.
Welcome into the Rose Garden. I mean,
he's got to be at least 80.
Wow. Dude,
Marv Albert. Old. Outside of that hotel situation, he's amazing.
Yeah. 82 years old, Marv
Albert. One could argue in that hotel situation, he was kind of amazing.
Probably bit that ear just right.
We got a lot to get to this hour. At the bottom of the hour, we'll get into fair or foul.
Yeah, he was saying, and the facial, in a different context then.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, I just grew up with Marv Albert. I just called all the games.
Do you see it? Commish Adam Silver today said that he does not imagine a world where the NBA on TNT pregame and postgame show is not covering B-ball. So we'll see. See if Chuck and the guys can stay together.
Yeah, if they just cover basketball but don't actually play basketball games. It'd be the opposite of ESPN, where they play basketball games but don't cover it.
Ooh, I like that.
Zing, zing, zing.
Just their own podcast, right?
I listened to Jason Sukanik go on this rant earlier today on Primetime, which you can catch at 10 of the Fan or the Odyssey app, like podcast their stuff. Like, he's spot on. Like, ESPN's coverage of the NBA is unbelievably cringy. I cannot watch it. I cannot. I won't.
Not a Malika fan. Not a Malika Andrews fan.
I won't do it.
Whoa, that is...
I think she's fine. Hey, I think everybody else is garbage.
She is University of Portland greatness, okay?
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, she was a pilot.
I didn't even know that.
Like, she graduated from U of P?
Yeah.
She was up on the hill. University of Portland.
Good for her.
Yeah, that's why I like her. Well, and for other reasons, but...
Malika, I swear to God, if the Lakers don't win the NBA Finals... Steven, the Lakers didn't make the finals. I know, but if they don't win the finals, it's garbage.
Yeah, big Malika fan.
I saw the Sixers might give a max offer to Jimmy Butler. Should we talk about that for the next hour?
They're interested in LeBron, too.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. I was like, what does this have to do with LeBron?
I think LeBron should go back to
Miami.
What does
this have to do with Bronny James?
Like, nobody got mad that LeBron went back to Cleveland. If he goes back to Miami, it's like, oh, nice idea. I like Jimmy Buckets.
Hey, rare Kendrick Perkins W the other day.
Highly doubtful.
Hey, no, I couldn't believe my ears when he was saying it, but he was on ESPN basically saying that they need to stop talking about Bronny James as a draft prospect.
Because he's garbage.
Yeah, and then like everybody else on the panel was like, well, I don't know. And then he's like, no, please don't. Malika, we need to stop this.
Bronny does not want to sign a two-way contract. It's like, bro, nepotism's fun, isn't it?
Congratulations, Bronny James. You are now a Portland Trailblazer.
Well, he could go back to USC, Eric Musselman. You know, take off the shirt and... I still don't understand why Musselman left
Arkansas.
Left that Arkansas job.
I don't know either.
Are you serious? Arkansas? USC?
Arkansas is a solid little basketball program.
Dude, have you watched USC basketball?
Arkansas can't lose at home. They have
just as much money.
They got a good little program going on down there basketball-wise.
Shout out Bill Walton. I love college basketball.
And the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Game four,
are they still alive?
Purify yourselves in the waters of Lake Minnetonka. All right, let's slide into this. We'll give you this little bit of tease. The National League and Major League Baseball seems a little bit of a mess, Joe. As I give you the standings, the best record-wise is the Philadelphia Phillies at 38-17. They got a 5.5 game lead over the Braves. They're great at home. They're great on the road. They've got a run differential of 89. However, they've played no good teams. You switch down to the Los Angeles Dodgers, who has spent $1 billion in the offseason, yet aren't really blowing people away. Like when you see the top three, the Mookie, Shohei, Freeman show, it sounds pretty great. Glasnow is putting in a great campaign. Yamamoto's been better. They got Gavin Stone, who I watched today, who threw a pretty nice game. But nobody in there is really blowing things away. And the Central is an absolute disaster, in my opinion. Is this National League? We'll do it real quick, and then we'll slide into some specific team stuff. Is the National League behind the American League in terms of quality?
I would say so, yes. But with that being said, and I've always said about this when the NFC East has teams that are like three games below 500 trying to win the division, I'm like, makes it pretty competitive to me, all right?
Parity.
Yeah,
league
exactly.
Parity.
All these teams sucking at the same
time. You
know,
these Eagles are going to be a tough out at 7-9.
So with teams in the wild card hunt, if you will, the Giants, Cubs, Padres, Cardinals, Diamondbacks, Pirates, and Nationals all within three games of each other.
But I feel like if you look at those teams... If you just look at the name of the team and the standings, you'd be like, wow, wild National League race, huh? Look at all these teams. You know, the Diamondbacks were in the World Series last year. The Cardinals are the Cardinals. The Padres have been spending hella money. Chicago might have the best pitcher in the National League. The Giants spent a bunch of money. The Braves won a World Series. But when you watch these teams, none of them really stand out to you as world beaters.
No, I think as we were talking earlier today, it's like outside of the Phillies and Dodgers, like any of these teams really giving you confidence? I mean, the Acuna loss, huge blow to the Braves. Are you really going to trust the Brewers after what they do basically every postseason and not win a single game, it seems
like?
The
Brewers are the National League equivalent of the Twins.
Yes. The Giants.
The Twins are actually worse than that.
The Giants, who were one of my teams to make the playoffs and finish second in the NL West, they're kind of underwhelming at times.
Jung-Hoo Lee's done.
Yes, but they did get a win against the Phillies today, which, again, you see more wins. I think they've won three series in a row now. So they're starting to show signs of life, but they just really can't score runs at all. They got a negative run differential. The Cubs, they're beat up to hell. It seems like they can never be fully healthy. The Padres, just weird. We'll see if they can start pulling things together. We said a couple of weeks ago after that Luis Arias trade that they kind of have delusions of grandeur, I think, for themselves. But they might just be one of those teams that say, hey, just give us a shot. We have the talent, so if you just give us a chance, then you know, we could maybe make a run in the playoffs. But you look at the Cardinals. They've won 8 of their last 10. They swept my Orioles. I was disgusted.
Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt had 3 home runs in 2 games.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Finally. Hit.
That we haven't said for 5 years, friend of the show, Paul Goldschmidt.
And then, you know, I mentioned these teams, the Diamondbacks, the Pirates, the Nationals. The Pirates and Nationals have fell off from the beginning of their season start, and the Diamondbacks really haven't gotten anything going at all to start this season. I mean, Paige and Corbin Carroll, whenever you want to start playing baseball, let me know. So maybe some of these teams on the back end of that, it's like, do you really believe the Pirates Nationals are going to make a run for it? But in that kind of middle pack, again, it's like, is there anybody you can really trust until you start seeing them really make a run and dominating good teams? And the answer right now is no.
If I told you loosely, I have 6 teams in the American League that could make a run, loosely, 6 teams in the American League that could make a run to a World Series.
Yes.
Could you give me loosely 6 teams in the National League that can make a run to the World Series?
No. I can give you 2, maybe 3.
2, maybe 3. And that's a big problem. So when we come back, let's dive into some of these teams that are kind of fringy and see what they need to do to get back at it. That's Joe Fisher, Schultzy behind the glass. I'm Patrick Harris, 10A The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, shout out to the NCAA Baseball Playoffs College World Series about
Division
to start.
Three.
Let's go, baby. Ping! Patrick's favorite
that is,
sound.
That is a great reminder. Next week on Monday the 3rd, Joe and I will be at the Portland Pickles game throwing out the first pitch.
No pings, thank God.
I'm going to throw the nastiest 12-6. They're going to give me a contract on the spot.
Are you going to Ephus?
No, because there will be a good amount of speed on this thing. It's not going to have that huge, slow drop like a positional player has when he comes out in the ninth, you know? Throws a 55-mile-per-hour meatball. This thing is just going to be a nasty Barry Zito-esque. Whoever the Pickles player that is catching this ball is going to have to drop to the knees and try and block it so it doesn't get passed.
Should we practice and time ourselves? Because I'm going to swing my arms like the old days.
Oh, you're going to do a full arm rotation? And
yeah, I'm going to do like the cartoon the, like, character. Woom, woom, and then throw.
Maybe I go Hideo Nomo and do it all slow.
Ooh, maybe I'll go Andy Pettit and just hold the glove like right below my nose so all you see are my eyeballs.
Damn it, I'm trying to remember who's the bullpen coach for the Diamondbacks, the guy that does the look. I already forgot his name.
Oh, yeah, what was his name?
Mike something.
Mike Fetters.
Yes, Mike Fetters. That's nice. What I'm going to do.
Well, you guys, I haven't been officially invited, but I think I'm just going to be on the sides, just kind of twirling my shirt.
You're
up in
invited.
The air.
You can come down.
All right, I appreciate it.
Yeah, come
that.
Down.
I'll just be slamming high lives and shouting, "Keep it over the plate at y'all." It'll be fun.
I'll put you on the guest list so you don't have to pay for a ticket.
That does remind
the whole $7 to get in.
I would happily pay that.
I think tickets start at just $12.
Okay, so $12.
Two things, though.
Well, the industry discount's about half that, so it's actually like $5.50, $6.
Hey, to quote Waiting, membership has its privileges.
Two Pickles-related topics. At the end of July, I think we're supposed to do like an Odyssey Portland team outing out of the Pickles game to go catch a game over in the Hot Corner Suite, is what it's called.
I like that.
Bam. We did not pay for that. I mean the naming for the suite itself. Paying for the suite, I don't know how that worked, but the naming, we did not brand that because of the show. And second Pickles related thing, remember when John Ryan brought up the 10 cent beer night?
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
we should go to that.
Not so much that. Go back and read about that 10 cent beer night at the Cleveland game back in the 70s.
Oh, it's the name of my fantasy baseball team. I'm very aware.
You're familiar with the whole story?
It's my old love.
Oh my God. Dude, that I went through and read the wiki page and watched a couple videos on that today. That is one of the best things I have ever read or consumed in quite some time.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
Surprised there wasn't a 90-minute documentary on just that one game.
I'm sure there is somewhere because the progression of the night itself and just how it ended, my God. Like, they definitely should have saw that coming.
So looking at teams that are going to attempt to make long-distance runs, I was teased this the last segment. I said I got six teams, or one, two, three, four. Yeah, I've got six teams in the American League that I think it can make a run. The Yankees, the Orioles. I like the Guardians more than anybody else in the Central. I think somehow, miraculously, they're hitting, and their pitching, I think, is some of the best pitching in the American League. And then I'll turn to the West. I'll go the Mariners, who are in first. Texas are the reigning champs, and I'm not going to count out Houston yet. Objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they appear.
You're just going to admit the Royals?
I am going to admit the Royals.
Wow. I think we basically did last week.
I did say that they were my pick to be dangerous in the playoffs. I did pick them to win the Central. So seven, all right? When you scroll over to the National League, it's Phillies, Dodgers. So when you're looking at teams like the Brewers, the Cubs, the Giants, the Padres, I'll throw the Braves in there now with Acuña injury. What is the biggest thing that these guys got to do to be able to catch up? You mentioned Corbin Carroll in the Arizona Diamondbacks. Paging, can you please come play baseball? That would be important to them. But for some of these other teams, what's the team you're looking at that is close to there that needs a piece?
I would say that if the Cubs can get healthy, because that's been their biggest problem all year, is just keep having all their guys, having all their arms. And then, I mean, either of those teams out of the West, I like the Giants to start the year. There is something about the Padres that are just like, maybe we're the fools, right? Maybe they really can make a run at the end of the season as long as you give them a chance.
Bogart's out for a very long time.
Very true. And that's where it's just like the uncertainty with these teams. Like, there isn't like a for sure, like, they do this really good, so I feel confident that they can be in it at the end of the season. None of that team really has it for me. And the reason I say the Cubs is because we haven't seen them fully healthy this year to where I can feel like I say that, no, they're not good when they are healthy. They're not good enough. It's just been inconsistent with their health that I feel like we haven't gotten the full Cubs picture this year.
Yeah, there's something about the Giants and the Padres that just don't feel great. You know, I don't know if it's starting pitching. Like, Yu Darvish is looking really good right now. And, you know, you go to the Giants, you got Logan Webb, but outside of that, Hicks has been good for them. But I don't know if I really love that. Plus, with Jung-Hoo Lee, who wasn't killing it, but like, the offense is kind of built on a bunch of guys just kind of getting it done. Like, the Brewers are the sexier version of the Giants, but I don't know if I love that starting rotation. I think I'm with you. I think this is the Cubs to have. I think they get healthy. They potentially have the best pitcher in the National League. Like, would you take Imanaga right now or Tyler Glasnow?
I'd
probably
Imanaga.
Take Glasnow because of the history. But Imanaga looks absolutely incredible. I almost dropped an F-bomb there. Like, he looks absolutely incredible. The Braves, I think, are the interesting team. I don't know what to do if you're the Braves.
I think you just kind of
stay the course.
Yeah.
Lost Strider and you were like, we're good. We're good.
Yeah, I think that is, you just basically say, like, listen, this is a huge bump in the road, but we are World Series champions. We have a World Series manager. We have dude after dude on this roster still. We're not playing to our best of our ability, but that doesn't mean that we can't, and we still have some great arms. And so
Max Fried, Charlie Morton.
Chris Sale's playing great this year.
Chris Sale is actually pitching well.
So I think that the Braves, well, I don't have confidence in them coming out of the National League at this point. Like I said, this kind of seeming like a two-horse race at this point. That's where I think they'd say they are staying the course and that they're not going to overreact to what's happening and that hopefully that they can have guys just step up and start playing better than they have. Once you lose a guy, everybody has to raise their game. And so I feel like that has to be the message in the clubhouse to this team is, hey, we got to step it up, you guys.
Can you foresee somebody like Pittsburgh or Cincinnati or Arizona making a big push right now? Because that's National League Central is, I know you look at it and the Cubs are 3.5 behind the Brewers. The Cardinals are 4.5. The Pirates are 6.
The Reds are
7.5. Can you see any of those guys like a Pirates, the Reds or the Diamondbacks who are 8.5 behind the Dodgers? They're only 2.5 behind the Giants and Padres. Can you see any of those guys getting wild, getting hot?
Well, as soon as I said a couple weeks ago that maybe the Reds can make a run, they went and lost like 10 games in a row or something like that. And they can't score either. They can't hit the ball right now. I want to say that they have the second worst average in the league. So unless Elliot De La Cruz is getting on base and then taking everyone after that.
Cubs have a pretty bad average as well. They're down there near the Mariners and Reds also.
And the Pirates, they started off hot. I think they were 8-2 to start the year, and now they're 4 games below 500. Maybe their pitching is what propels them through the rest of the year with Skeens, Jared Jones, and there's someone else on that staff I'm forgetting right now that is
Mitch
good
Keller?
For them. Yes, thank you. That maybe that 1-3 pitching rotation, like that's going to be able to propel them. And
there are
them.
Definitely teams with worse starting three than that.
Right. So and before the season, we liked the NL Central top to bottom.
We did.
We thought it was
going to
be the most competitive division in baseball.
And maybe it still is.
I was going to say, it still has a chance to be that, you know, if the Reds can pull their head out of their arse and if the Pirates can kind of get back to that preseason form or that beginning of the season form. Again, it's just as far as like, what team do I think has a chance to really push the Phillies or the Dodgers at this point?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I think that's the moral of the story, is the answer is meh. I don't know.
I don't know, and I'm not feeling really confident about any of them.
I don't think any of those central teams have a shot. I know that you think the Padres have problems, but if you look at them, even without Xander Bogaerts, they still have three other shortstops on their roster, a couple playing in the outfield. I think
so they lost a shortstop and still have three? That means they have four total?
So, they still have four total. They brought in a second baseman in Arias, who I think is hitting almost 400.
He's actually insane for the Padres since he's been there.
Yeah, he's been amazing. Profar's having a career year for them.
That's true.
Yeah, Kim's holding it down, and we're not even talking about their starting pitching. It's actually sneaky good. Darvish, nobody talks about the addition of Cease from the White Sox this offseason.
He's been good, yeah.
Yeah, he's been nails for them. Their closer, Suarez, he's got like 17 saves and under one ERA. That kid Matsui, who I also another pickup from Japan, he's pitching well out of the bullpen. Like, they've actually got pieces, so I don't know if they keep playing to a sustainable okay level. I think they're there in the National League because it's so weak.
We'll keep eyes on it and see what a week does to this league, because right now the American League looks like it is going to be the more fun playoff, but who knows? We'll see once these things go down. All right.
The Orioles, just say real quick, it's like they're one of the best teams in the major leagues. They're a first-round team right now.
Yeah, they're a wild-card team right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how stacked the American League is. All right, when we come back, it's everybody's favorite, fair or foul. But first, there's Schulze with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome in. We do this every single Tuesday night at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. This is Fair or Foul with our 8-bit Nintendo music. If you're on YouTube, you can watch me dance to it. I pretty much dance at some point.
It's 90s rave music.
I look like a 48-year-old on weed at a rave party, so it looks really dumb. So tune into YouTube to check that out. Without further ado, we'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Schulze.
Nothing wrong with the 48-year-olds at raves. They usually got the best drugs and the most money, right? Always true. Partying with money is so much more fun.
You talking about Trustafarians? Because they're all down at the Sphere right now watching the Dead.
That's
because I can't afford those tickets.
I was going to say, how much did a ticket for that cost? Did you look it up?
Yeah, worst seats are like $450.
Oh my God.
Woof.
Yeah, woof indeed. Love live music, but not for that.
I do think Old Man Walton did get a show at the Sphere.
That's cool. So we got to see them. One. Hey, he got to meet Victor Wembanyama. He got a show at the Sphere. I mean, what didn't that guy get to do even in the last year of his life? Good Lord.
Fair or foul? Bill Walton really saw over 1,000 Grateful Dead shows. That was one of the claims.
I'll say foul.
A thousand?
Foul. You're maybe 200 a year.
I mean, so what? 72? He's 71. Passing 71.
And they maybe play 200 a year. Maybe. Okay. Back in the 80s, 70s, maybe 200 a year.
And when did they first get big? Like late 60s?
They started in like 66, put out their first album in 67.
I mean, he's got to go to 50 shows a year for 20 years, essentially.
The band formed in 65, but as far as when they started touring.
Yeah, like touring, you're talking 70, 71.
I don't know. That's a lot of years.
It's a lot of shows. 1,000 is a lot of shows.
I mean, he was injured a lot. Maybe he was hanging out at the Grateful Dead shows. I don't know.
The Rick Carlisle. Have you seen Rick Carlisle's?
Yes, the story.
Talk story about him and his future wife, his girlfriend. That one's great,
dude. Bill Walton, seriously, bringing people together. What a legend! Just everybody needs to aspire to be like that guy. All right, maybe. Recently demoted closer Edwin Diaz needs to aspire to be more like Bill Walton. Not going so well so far in New York this season, and that is after coming off of a pretty devastating injury after the World Baseball Classic. I believe he tore his ACL in one of his knees celebrating that win. So fair or foul, guys, this stat I just thought it was so funny, so I do include it. Fair or foul, recently demoted closer Edwin Diaz has more career saves with the Seattle Mariners than the New York Mets. Fair or foul?
Well, I'm going to say fair because he had, what, 59-60 in that season with the Mariners? What was it, 59 saves?
It was 57 or 58, I believe. I think it was 57.
I'm going to say he probably had more just in that one season than he ever did with the Mets.
That's fair.
That's fair. I mean, this is closer life.
Yeah, 57.
Know? This is closer life. You know, you sell high. And teams that are desperate, I would argue Cohen and the Mets are desperate and are willing to sign guys for long-term deals. You know, it's like we kind of alluded to this last week with the Josh Hader thing about how he's like managing his innings and that's part of his contract and stuff. He's the first guy to really see that closers, you know, and it'll be funny to see. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Miller in Oakland. Like, closers do their best work when they're not paid. Like, once they're paid, things get sketchy. Look at Kimbrel in Baltimore. No offense, Joe. You know, look at Jansen in Boston. You know, guys that get paid, it gets a little squirrely. I'll agree with Joe. I'll say fair.
All right, you guys, it is actually fair. Yeah, he had 109 saves total for the Mariners from 2016 to 2018. And then from 2019 to 2024 with the Mets, he only had 101. Now, of course, you know,
there's a COVID year, but
yeah, there's the COVID year, but still, like, he also missed a year because of injury. So the point is, the investment that the Mets made into this closer, not very good of a return. But hey, the Mariners didn't get really a great return either.
I was gonna say, like, those guys don't play on the team anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Do they have anybody left? I don't think they do.
So he has more as a Met than he did in that one season as the Mariners. Well, I guess that's good. That's good for him.
Good for him.
Not even double, though. Not even double. All right. Fair foul number two on to, I would say, a Mariner that is dividing fans so far this year. First baseman, Ty France. So, guys, what do you think? Fair or foul? Ty France has had a higher batting average so far through this point in 2023. So, a year ago, fair or foul, Ty France had a higher batting average to this point of the season.
I'll start this. I think, wait. Rephrase the question again.
Yeah, so fair or foul, Ty France had a higher batting average so far through this point in 2023.
I will say foul. I think he has a higher batting average this year.
Okay.
I know it was a little tough in the beginning that Ty France seemed to have struggled, and the big talk was the change in his swing and stuff like that, but I do think he is playing better this year stat-wise than he was last year.
I'm going to say fair as well, because if my memory serves me correct, he did not start last year very well at all.
At all.
So, yes, I'm going to say this is foul, because the question is, was his average better last year
kind
than
of a double negative.
Yes, I am saying foul.
So you're both saying foul?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Sorry, that is incorrect. It is actually fair. And this shocked me, y'all. Shocked me. He at this point, this year, hitting .244 with 6 home runs, 21 RBIs, .305 on-base percentage. Last season, on May 28th, .260, 5 homers, 24 RBIs, and a .348 on-base percentage. Did that off-season swing change really help? I know he had a baby. You know, I know he was gone for a little bit. I'm sure there's been distractions in the France household, no doubt. But what happened with the swing change? We're seeing almost worse stats this year.
Go trade for Paul Goldschmidt. Is Ryan O'Hearn available?
Wouldn't be a bad addition, but no, you can't have any Orioles players. Hands off.
Santander, I heard, might be available.
No, he's not. No,
because he's in a walk year.
No, no.
And he's not hitting well.
I don't care.
But he can't hit him.
Stay away
first.
From my Orioles. Outfield. Damn it.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe.
That is a bit shocking, though, because France started off the season great, so a bit of a dip.
What it sounds like.
I knew
like
that he wasn't playing as well, but I didn't think he was damn near below .240.
What it sounds like is fair or foul. Ty France is a crappy player more this year or last year, is what it sounds like to me.
And I don't really think that there's a difference. So I guess you would say fair, because if he didn't get any less crappy than last year,
he's just crappy.
Yeah.
Well, and he got better as the season went on last year, I want to say.
Oh, finally. Yeah, he finally started to kick into gear at one point. But, yeah. I mean, all these guys were, Julio's a late starter. Ty goes through stretches. All right. asinine. But there, I wanted to point that out, guys. It's just crazy. Ty France, swing changes? I don't know. Farrah foul number three, devastating injury to Ronald Acuna Jr., tore his left ACL completely while running the bases. And that is, of course, 2 years after he tore his right ACL completely while in the outfield. Fair or foul, guys, Ronald Acuna Jr. must now shake off the injury-prone label after this second ACL tear.
I'll go. It's tough. It's tough. I think, you know, when we talked about this in the first hour, and if you missed any of that, you can download that, the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, attending the Fan, the Odyssey app. You know, I think Joe brings up a good point that he's young. You never know. But for me personally, both knees are reconstructed, and I think knees are different than elbows. I think guys that have elbow surgery can come back and be better. I'll say foul, but it is a very, very concerning foul. It is a very pessimistic foul. I'm worried. As somebody who doesn't gatekeep, but somebody who wants to be a part of the future of baseball and how we present this sport to everyone else, Acuna down again, I am pessimistically saying foul. I hope I'm right. I don't think he's injury prone. I'm just scared.
Boy, there is an article I'm looking at right now that a lot of just little nicks and dings for Acuna over his career. That, again, like the two ACL injuries, that's two things. But looking through this little timeline, he has had a lot of just neck here, pectoral tightness there, ankle injury here.
And some of those are nicks and bruises and stuff like that.
But, I mean, there's a lot of bullet points on this article here that makes me not as optimistic as when...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome in. This is We Do This Every Single Tuesday Night at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. This is Fair or Foul with our 8-bit Nintendo music. If you're on YouTube, you can watch me dance to it. I pretty much dance at some point.
It's 90s rave music.
I look like a 48-year-old on weed at a rave party, so it looks really dumb. So tune into YouTube to check that out. Without further ado, we'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Schultzy.
Nothing wrong with the 48-year-olds at raves. They usually got the best drugs and the most money, right? Always true. Partying with money is so much more fun.
You talking about Trustafarians? Because they're all down at the Sphere right now watching the Dead.
That's
because I can't afford those tickets.
I was going to say, how much did a ticket for that cost? Did you look it up?
Yeah, worst seats are like $450.
Oh, my God.
Woof.
Yeah, woof indeed. Love live music, but not for that
I don't
much.
I do think Old Man Walton did get a show at the Sphere.
That's cool. So we got to see them. Hey, he got to meet Victor Wembanyama. He got a show at the Sphere. I mean, what didn't that guy get to do even in the last year of his life? Good Lord.
Fair or foul? Bill Walton really saw over 1,000 Grateful Dead shows. That was one of the claims.
I'll say fair.
I'll say foul.
Really? 1,000?
Foul. You're maybe 200 a year.
I mean, so what? 72? So he's 71. Passing 71.
And they maybe play 200 a year. Maybe. Okay. Back in the 80s, 70s, maybe 200 a year.
And when did they first get big? Like late 60s?
They started in like 66, put out their first album in 67.
I mean, he's got to go to 50 shows a year for 20 years, essentially.
The band formed in 65, but as far as when they started touring.
Yeah, like touring, you're talking 70, 71.
I don't know. That's a lot of years.
It's a lot of shows. 1,000 is a lot of shows.
I mean, he was injured a lot. Maybe he was hanging out at the Grateful Dead shows. I don't know.
The Rick Carlisle. Have you seen Rick Carlisle's?
Yes, the story.
Talk story about him and his future wife, his girlfriend. That one's great.
Dude, Bill Walton. Seriously, bringing people together. What a legend. Just everybody needs to aspire to be like that guy. All right. Recently demoted closer Edwin Diaz needs to aspire to be more like Bill Walton. Not going so well so far in New York this season, and that is after coming off of a pretty devastating injury after the World Baseball Classic. I believe he tore his ACL in one of his knees, celebrating that win. So fair or foul, guys, this stat, I just thought it was so funny, so I had to include it. Fair or foul, recently demoted closer Edwin Diaz has more career saves with the Seattle Mariners than the New York Mets. Fair or foul?
Well, I'm going to say fair because he had, 59-60 in that season with the Mariners? What was it, 59 saves?
It was 57 or 58, I believe. I think it was 57.
I'm going to say he probably had more just in that one season than he ever did with the Mets.
That's fair.
I mean, this is closer life.
Yeah, 57.
Know? This is closer life. You know, you sell high, and teams that are desperate, I would argue Cohen and the Mets are desperate and are willing to sign guys for long-term deals. You know, it's like we kind of alluded to this last week with the Josh Hader thing about how he's like managing his innings and that's part of his contract and stuff. He's the first guy to really see that closers, you know, and it'll be funny to see. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Miller in Oakland. Like, closers do their best work when they're not paid. Like, once they're paid, things get sketchy. Look at Kimbrel in Baltimore. No offense, Joe. You know, look at Jansen in Boston. You know, guys that get paid, it gets a little squirrely. I'll agree with Joe. I'll say fair.
All right, you guys, it is actually fair. Yeah, he had 109 saves total for the Mariners from 2016 to 2018. And then from 2019 to 2024 with the Mets, he only had 101. Now, of course, you know, he could
there's a COVID year, but...
Yeah, there's the COVID year, but still. Like, he also missed a year because of injury. So the point is, the investment that the Mets made into this closer... Not very good of a return, but hey, the Mariners didn't get really a great return either.
I was going to say, like, those guys don't play on the team anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Do they have anybody left? I don't think they do.
So he has more as a Met than he did in that one season as the Mariners. Well, I guess that's good. That's good for him.
Good for him.
Not even double, though. Not even double. All right. Fair foul number two on two. I would say a Mariner that is dividing fans so far this year. First baseman, Ty France. So, guys, what do you think? Fair or foul? Ty France has had a higher batting average so far through this point in 2023. So a year ago, fair or foul, Ty France had a higher batting average to this point of the season.
I'll start this. Wait. Rephrase the question again.
Yeah, so fair or foul, Ty France had a higher batting average so far through this point in 2023.
I will say foul. I think he has a higher batting average this year.
Okay.
I know it was a little tough in the beginning that Ty France seemed to have struggled, and the big talk was the change in his swing and stuff like that, but I do think he is playing better this year stat-wise than he was last year.
I'm going to say fair as well, because if my memory serves me correct, he did not start last year very well at all.
At all.
So, yes, I'm going to say this is foul, because the question is, was his average better last year?
Kind
than
of a double negative.
Yes, I am saying foul.
So you're both saying foul?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Sorry, that is incorrect. It is actually fair. And this shocked me, y'all. Shocked me. He at this point this year hitting .244 with 6 home runs, 21 RBIs, .305 on base percentage. Last season on May 28th, .260, 5 homers, 24 RBIs, and a .348 on base percentage. Did that offseason swing change really help? I know he had a baby. You know, I know he was gone for a little bit. I'm sure there's been distractions in the France household, no doubt. But what happened with the swing change? We're seeing almost worse stats this year.
Go trade for Paul Goldschmidt. Is Ryan O'Hearn available?
You wouldn't be a bad addition, but no, you can't have any Orioles players. Hands off.
Santander, I heard, might be available.
No, he's not. No,
because he's in a walk year.
No, no.
And he's not hitting well.
No, I don't care.
But he can't hit him.
Stay
right
away
first.
From my Orioles. Outfield. Damn it.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe.
That is a bit shocking, though, because France started off the season great, so a bit of a dip.
What it sounds
I knew
like,
that he wasn't playing as well, but I didn't think he was damn near below .240.
What it sounds like is fair or foul, Ty France is a crappy player more this year or last year, is what it sounds like to me.
And I don't really think that there's a difference. So I guess you would say fair, because if he didn't get any less crappy than last year,
he's just crappy.
Yeah.
Well, and he got better as the season went on last year, I want to say.
Oh, finally. Yeah, he finally started to kick into gear at one point. But, I mean, all these guys were, Julio's a late starter. Ty goes through stretches. Just, all right, asinine. But there, I wanted to point that out, guys. It's just crazy. Ty France, swing changes? I don't know. Fair or foul number three, devastating injury to Ronald Acuna Jr. Tore his left ACL completely while running the bases. And that is, of course, 2 years after he tore his right ACL completely while in the outfield. Fair or foul, guys, Ronald Acuna Jr. must now shake off the injury-prone label after this second ACL tear.
I'll go. It's tough. It's tough. I think, you know, when we talked about this in the first hour, and if you missed any of that, you can download that, the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, attending the Fan, the Odyssey app. You know, I think Joe brings up a good point that he's young. You never know. But for me personally, both knees are reconstructed, and I think knees are different than elbows. I think guys that have elbow surgery can come back and be better. I'll say foul, but it is a very, very concerning foul. It is a very pessimistic foul. I'm worried. As somebody who doesn't gatekeep, but somebody who wants to be a part of the future of baseball and how we present this sport to everyone else, Acuna down again, I am pessimistically saying foul. I hope I'm wrong. Or I hope I'm right. I hope I'm right. I don't think he's injury prone. I'm just scared.
Boy, there is a article I'm looking at right now that a lot of just little nicks and dings for Acuna over his career. That again, like the two ACL injuries, two things. But looking through this little timeline, he has had a lot of just neck here, pectoral tightness there, ankle injury here.
And some of those are nicks and bruises and stuff like that.
But, I mean, there's a lot of bullet points on this article here that makes me not as optimistic as when we first started the show talking about it. I'm going to say foul that he is not injury prone, or that he, however the question was phrased.
He must shake off the injury prone label foul after a second ACL tear.
Foul for now. I mean, if it's just, you know, still young, still a lot of career, I say one more of these injuries, then yeah, it's definitely a label that's going to be put on him. Cause I think that's, I mean, Trout, that is part of his, part of him now, like with his injuries over his year, and then starting the year as well as he did, and now maybe, and he's not going to be done for the year. He might get back in August or September, but again, it's just like, damn, dude, like you really just can't put it together for two straight seasons. So if you see this happen again with Acuña next year, where he has a big injury, where he's missing a huge chunk of games, up to 40 to 60% of them, or even more, then yeah, I think that label is justified then.
Two knees are tough, but I feel like with him, because of his quality, his athleticism, you feel like he can shake it off.
Mariners just took a lead, by the way. First, a Josh Rojas double to tie it up at two, and then a Julio Rodriguez single, and then a throwing error to give the Mariners the lead 4-2, bottom eight of the season.
Shout out my buddy Todd Burdett, who is up at the games. He is taking in the three-game set. He gets Castillo, Gilbert, and Kirby against the Astros. That, my friend, is living life.
All cheap tickets this week, too. They're doing value games, so you can get in for $10. It's just, I love they do that. They got the 450 Miller High Lifes up there. I'm jealous of your friend, man. Very jealous. Yeah, actually, fair foul number four involves a Houston Astro, the team that the Mariners are playing right now. What a great season for Kyle Tucker, having a career year so far, hitting .276, 18 home runs, 39 RBIs, on pace to set a career high in home runs. He's only hit 30. That was back in 21 and 22, matched that both seasons. So, guys, fair foul. Houston Astros outfielder Kyle Tucker will hit 50 home runs this season.
Ooh, I'll go first on this. I'll tell you what. It's wild. I remember when the Astros were kind of doing the Astros thing, and it's Bregman and Correa and Altuve and Springer and Verlander and Greinke and Cole. And then you transfer into the next window where you got Framber Valdez, Yordan Alvarez. Kyle Tucker was the number one prospect. And they said he was better than Bregman, better than Springer, better than Alvarez, better than Valdez, and all that stuff. Kyle Tucker might be the American League version of Mookie Betts, in the sense of you don't realize he's the best player in the game because Mookie plays with Shohei Ohtani, and New York has Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and, you know, all the kids, other places, but there is a very good chance that Kyle Tucker for the next 5 years is the best player in the American League. I'll say foul. I don't think he'll hit 50 home runs, but I will say it as a compliment to him that he is more than just a home run hitter. I think Kyle Tucker might be a top three player in baseball, and that's including Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani.
So he's got 18 home runs through 54 games. You times that.
Carry the five.
He's on pace to hit like 60
square root
right
of 16. Derp. Carry over the 12.
A couple three trash cans.
Back around. Times that by his WAR.
Chug a beer.
There's the five buzzers.
Divided by his B WAR and his barrel rate.
And
I'm going to say fair.
Size. Wait, what?
You're going to say fair.
I'm going to say fair just because I want to be optimistic that these things are going to happen. I believe Jordan asked a few weeks ago if Ellie De La Cruz was going to get 100 steals.
No, that was...
Or was it 90? I think it was a hundo.
I actually pointed out that he himself had, like, more stolen bases than the White Sox team.
Yeah, I just want these things to happen where dudes are putting up big numbers, so I say fair to put that in, to put that energy out into the solar fields that Kyle Tucker will hit 50 home runs.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
All right, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom there. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan. All right, we come back next week. We'll share our experience at the Pickles on June 3rd, which is this coming Monday.
Rocking out with our pickles out.
We're rocking out with our pickles out on Pack 2 Remembrance Night and mine, Service Industry Night, so I'm double dipping.
Mine is more of a gherkin size, but, you know, it's not the size of the pickle. It's how it tastes.
How it comes out of the jar.
Yeah, there you go. That's much better.
How it's preserved.
That's really good stuff.
I'll be on the mound with a Wazoo hat, as I must lay claim. You know what's funny? It's this Bill Walton thing. It's like everybody's decided now that Bill Walton's dead, the Pac-12 is truly dead, even though it was dead like 6 months ago.
Well, I mean, yeah, everyone and their grandma was saying that yesterday. The day that the Pac-12 is done, Bill Walton dies.
Now, he did love us. We are the conference of champions.
He was, he was the biggest supporter.
Don't you dare relate to the Pac-12.
What are you talking about?
Well, you're a sellout and left.
I did not do anything. Thank USC and UCLA for starting all this. Thank Bill Walton's school. It was his fault, basically.
I'm not blaming Bill Walton for it.
And blame Colorado also, because Colorado made the move before.
Johnny come latelys.
Colorado.
They did nothing for our conference. Pac-10 for life.
Not until like the last season, but they.
Should have got Texas, Oklahoma. That would have been huge.
Yeah, I blame.
Remember when that was going around? That
the Pac Super Conference 16.
That, that is so big. Should have pulled the trigger on that. Thanks, Obama.
Pretty wild how quickly things changed over a 10 to 15 year time frame.
But Joe, let's get out of here on some baseball stuff. So I noticed this: the Washington Nationals DFA'd Victor Robles, who was a homegrown prospect for them, helped them win a World Series in 2019. They DFA'd him. If he clears waivers, he will get sent down to AAA, but he has the choice to become a free agent. He will most likely do that and then go sign with a team to go play somewhere else. I wouldn't be shocked if the Braves sign him.
Mariners.
I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants sign him. There's a bunch of teams that could use him, although he's not been playing very well. Joe, he was one of three players that was part of the 2019 Nationals World Series team. Can you name the other two?
Well, I can't now because we talked about it in the commercial.
Well, I know, but I was setting you up. You should have not said that. I was setting you up to be smart.
Well, I already forgot the first guy. I know
well,
that
Tanner Rainey is one of them, but you would have never guessed that. He's a relief pitcher. You would have never guessed that.
Yeah, it was quite shocking when you told me this one because I'm like, oh, my God, that's right. He's still playing. Not great, but still playing. Patrick Corbin.
I guess playing is a description for it. God, the Nationals is like a roster of misfit toys. Good Lord.
That's what's really, really wild about Patrick Corbin is he is still there. He makes a boatload of money. And currently, right now in 2024, he has an ERA. Where are you? He has an ERA of 6.12. He is 1-5. He has started 11 games.
Dear
God. And is 6.12.
Since that 2019 World Series season, in 2020, 4.66 ERA, 2021, 5.82, 2022, 6.31, in 23, 5.20, and then this year, a 6.12 ERA. He has not had a lower ERA than 4.66, and that was in the shortened 2020 season.
They're going to make him earn his money, right?
And in 2019, they signed him to a 6-year deal. He will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. They signed him to a 6-year deal.
He's like the Tobias Harris of MLB. getting paid way too much for little to no output.
In 2019, he made 12.9 mil. In 2020, he made 7.4. That's COVID.
Oh, well, okay.
2021, he made 24.4, then 23.4, 24.4, and this year he makes a clean $25 million.
Dude, no, that's not okay. Again, we should be taking money from players when they underperform.
This is why it's, honestly,
give me back at least 10 mil of that.
Honestly, I think it's better to be a pitcher than any other position in baseball. Because it's like he had one, two good years in Arizona, and the Nationals were like, we want to win a World Series. We'll give you 6 years, $1,000 billion. And he took it. You can't cut him.
I'm having flashbacks.
You might as well throw him out there. You're not good. By the way, they're third in the East. Just want to throw that out there.
Still have a chance for the worst record in the MLB. I'm having flashbacks of Chris Davis right now, and I don't like it.
All right, that'll do it for us. We come back next week. We'll check in. We'll keep you all updated on everything. Thank you for being part of the show today. Again, just a massive shout-out to Bill Walton and everything you did for us in Portland and for me as a deadhead.
Possible tease for next week? Keep an eye on the run differential in the American League West.
Ooh, I like that. We'll dive into that next week. For Jordan Schultz behind the glass, that's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do. All right, we come back next week. We'll share our experience at the Pickles on June 3rd, which is this coming Monday.
Rocking out with our pickles out.
We're walking out with our pickles out on Pack 2 Remembrance Night and Service Industry Night, so I'm double dipping.
Mine is more of a gherkin size, but, you know, it's not the size of the pickle. It's how it tastes.
How it comes out of the jar.
Yeah, there you go. That's much better.
How it's preserved.
That's really good stuff.
I'll be on the mound with a Wazoo hat, as I must lay claim. You know what's funny? It's this Bill Walton thing. It's like everybody's decided now that Bill Walton's dead, the Pac-12 is truly dead, even though it was dead like 6 months ago.
Well, I mean, yeah. Everyone and their grandma was saying that yesterday. The day that the Pac-12 is done, Bill Walton passes away.
Now, he did love us. We are the conference of champions.
He was, he was the biggest supporter.
Don't you dare relate to the Pac-12.
What are you talking about?
Well, you're a sellout and left.
I did not do anything. Thank USC and UCLA for starting all this. Thank Bill Walton's school. It was his fault, basically.
I'm not blaming Bill Walton for it.
And blame Colorado. Also, because Colorado made the move before.
Johnny come latelys.
Colorado.
They did nothing for our conference. Pac-10 for life.
Not until like the last season. But they
should have got Texas, Oklahoma. That would have been huge.
Yeah, I blame.
Remember when that was going around?
Oh, yeah, the Pac Super Conference 16. That
is so big. Should have pulled the trigger on that. Thanks, Obama.
Pretty wild how quickly things changed over a 10 to 15 year time frame.
But Joe, let's get out of here on some baseball stuff. So I noticed this, the Washington Nationals DFA'd Victor Robles, who was a homegrown prospect for them, helped them win a World Series in 2019. They DFA'd him. If he clears waivers, he will get sent down to AAA, but he has the choice to become a free agent. He will most likely do that. And then go sign with a team to go play somewhere else. I wouldn't be shocked if the Braves sign him.
Mariners.
I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants sign him. There's a bunch of teams that could use him, although he's not been playing very well. Joe, he was one of three players that was part of the 2019 Nationals World Series team. Can you name the other two?
Well, I can't now because we talked about it in the commercial.
Well, I know, but I was setting you up. You should have not said that. I was setting you up to be smart.
Well, I already forgot the first guy. I know
well,
that
Tanner Rainey is one of them, but you would have never guessed that. He's a relief pitcher. You would have never guessed that.
Yeah, it was quite shocking when you told me this one because I'm like, oh, my God, that's right. He's still playing. Not great, but still playing. Patrick Corbin.
I guess playing is a description for it. God, the Nationals is like a roster of misfit toys. Good Lord.
That's what's really, really wild about Patrick Corbin is he is still there. He makes a boatload of money. And currently, right now in 2024, he has an ERA. Where are you? He has an ERA of 6.12. He is 1-5. He has started 11 games.
Dear
God. Is 6.12.
Since that 2019 World Series season, in 2020, 4.66 ERA, 2021, 5.82, 2022, 6.31, in 23, 5.20, and then this year, a 6.12 ERA. He has not had a lower ERA than 4.66, and that was in the shortened 2020 season.
They're going to make him earn his money, right?
And in 2019, they signed him to a 6-year deal. He will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. They signed him to a 6-year deal.
He's like the Tobias Harris of MLB, getting paid way too much for little to no output.
In 2019, he made 12.9 mil. In 2020, he made 7.4. That's COVID.
Oh, well, okay.
2021, he made 24.4. Then 23.4, 24.4, and this year he makes a clean $25 million.
Dude, no, that's not okay. Again, we should be taking money from players when they underperform.
This is why it's, honestly,
Give me back at least 10 mil of that.
Honestly, I think it's better to be a pitcher than any other position in baseball. Because it's like he had two good years in Arizona, and the Nationals were like, we want to win a World Series. We'll give you 6 years, $1,000 billion. And he took it. You can't cut him.
I'm having flashbacks.
You might as well throw him out there. You're not good. By the way, they're third in the East. Just want to throw that out there.
Still have a chance for the worst record in the MLB. Just want to throw it out there. I'm having flashbacks of Chris Davis right now, and I don't like it.
All right, that'll do it for us. We come back next week. We'll check in. We'll keep you all updated on everything. Thank you for being part of the show today. Again, just a massive shout-out to Bill Walton and everything you did for us in Portland and for me as a deadhead.
Possible tease for next week? Keep an eye on the run differential in the American League West.
Ooh, I like that. We'll dive into that next week. For Jordan Schultz behind the glass, that's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.